Hi, and welcome to Gary England's Last Storm. This is Mark.
And this is Dave.
And today, we're going to be talking about the upcoming game against the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, this is going to be an exciting game. Second game in New York in 3 days. So it'll be exciting to see how our players come ready to play. And it'll be exciting to see if Hami can come out and play like he did in the Madison Square Garden.
Well, the Nets, 5-5, and the Thunder, 4-4, are both entering the game at 500. And I don't think a lot of people saw that happening when they saw the schedule come out.
Yeah, it's really awesome that we're able to continue to put W's up on the board. I feel like this is what we've been saying all year, is the Thunder are not to be overlooked. And they're definitely proving it in the first 8 games this year.
Yeah, it's been a team effort. Really, the bench has sparked us to a number of wins, and especially on the road, being able to count on that energy off the bench has really been exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's 4 wins this year on the road, so it's really nice to be able to see, like we talked about last episode, it's exciting to see our vets step up, it's exciting to see our young players step up, and it's really nice to be able to see us play as a team.
Well, the Nets have a new coach, Steve Nash, and their roster is in quite a bit of fluctuation because of the COVID protocol right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that are looking like they're going to be missing the game or day-to-day, so it'll be interesting to see what their lineup looks like tonight.
Well, either way, we're going to be running out probably pretty close to the same lineup we had last game. I'm really looking forward to seeing the starters take on a different tone than they did against the Knicks.
I think the starters need to come out fast and furious today. Mike Muscala is day-to-day after that hard hit in his ribs. I feel like he might end up sitting. So if he ends up sitting, it'll be interesting to see how Roby steps up and the other guys on the bench step up.
Yeah, that was one thing that Coach brought up after the game, was how Isaiah Roby stayed ready. And when Mike went down, he got in there and he had an impact in the fourth quarter. And that is the type of teamwork we've come to expect from this team.
Yeah, they are really playing and clicking well together right now. You can watch it as the ball gets passed around the horn. You can watch it as each of the players, they'll pass up shots because they notice that somebody in the corner is wide open for a better shot. So it's really nice to be able to see the teamwork that everybody is playing day in and day out.
We have 6 players averaging double figures, plus Al Horford, just under 10 points a game. So we're really getting it from a balanced attack on all sides.
Yeah, again, this comes right back to Coach. I feel like what he is doing is spreading out the floor, making sure people get wide open shots. He's making sure he puts the guys in the game that aren't afraid to take those shots. And I think it's starting to show by what the guys are averaging per game.
Darius Bazley is doing a great job on the offensive end, averaging 12 points a game, but he's also kicking in 8.8 rebounds.
Yeah, and you can't underestimate his defense as well. He's been playing top-end defense, typically against the better players, since there are so many good power forwards in the league. You see him being used really, really well by Coach and putting him in position to do the most damage every game.
And speaking of defense, Lou Dort, it always starts on the defensive end for him.
Yeah, and I think tonight it's going to be the same thing. I think he's going to have a very tough matchup, but I believe that Dort it will become ready to play. And I do believe that whether he gets put on Kyrie or get put on Chris LeVert, I do believe that he's going to shut them down and make it really difficult for them to score, like he did last night with R.J. Barrett.
He definitely kept R.J. out of the places that he wanted to go, and that's something he really focuses on defense, is making it difficult for the players to go where they want to go. He understands their strengths and definitely makes them work toward their weaknesses. It's not just been the defensive end this year for Lou Dort, though. His offense has been one of those bright, shining spots on this team.
Yeah, he consistently has been hitting his three-pointer. I believe he's right at 40% for the year. It's something that's really big for him after the bubble last year and teams leaving him wide open. So it's nice to be able to see as teams are getting ready for the Thunder, they're not leaving Dort wide open like they used to.
Yeah, and he's been able to hit the shot down with consistency, and I've noticed that he's really started to expect his shot to go in, which is awesome.
Yeah, and last night, like we saw, if his shot wasn't falling, he still drove to the hole, and he was able to get the assist when he needed it and when we needed it. So he is really putting in a bunch of different ways.
And that brings us back to SGA, and he's really been the leader on this team. I think his poise and his ability to lead the troops into really tight games and through these situations has been exceptional already.
Yeah, I really like the way the SGA has been playing this year. The top level that he is consistently playing game in and game out is really big to see. I'm excited to see what he will be able to do against a team that has a lot of really good guards and that are good defensive guards. So I think tonight or tomorrow night will be exciting to watch him play at a top level.
And then we get to our vets, George Hill and Al Horford. And to me, they just epitomize exactly what we need in this team. When you have such young players, you need older veterans, senior statesmen who understand the ropes and can help this team get through the grueling 72-game schedule this year.
Yeah, and Sam did a really good job picking these guys out to be on the team. He wanted guys to spread the floor, and George Hill and Al Horford, that's exactly what they do every single game. They get out, they spread the floor, and they crash the boards. So it's really exciting to see these guys play, and it's exciting to see how Sam was able to recognize this is what we need on our team.
Yeah, and having a new coach and Coach Degnall and this really new style of play, it all fits so well. It's been just really, really fun to watch.
It's exciting. It's exciting basketball. And I think the more that we're getting familiarized with it, the more we're starting to understand the plays and the system that Coach is running, I think the more excited that we are, because I think this Coach Degnall is one of the superstar coaches in the league. I'm under 40 years old. I do think that he's one of those guys that are going to continue to grow, and we'll see him coaching the Thunder for a very long time.
And that brings us to the bench, which I think has been his biggest inspiration, or the best job he's done is on the bench, because there's really nothing on the bench that I would say any other team would be excited about having. But as a unit, they've played exceptional.
I think the way that Coach started off in the G League and developing players with the Thunder, I think has a direct impact with how these players are able to continue to grow every single year. We watched Dort last year step up big time, and we all know that Coach Degnall was his coach last year. We were able to watch Baisley as Baisley was able to step up, and Coach was one of the main coaches for the player development, and I'm really excited to see how Coach is able to handle these guys this coming up year.
And like you said, Muscala is questionable, probably not going to play, simply based on what Coach said is my assumption. I don't know for sure. But when Coach said that he re-aggravated a spot that had been hit a few weeks earlier, I kind of figured, based on how much pain that Moose was in, they would probably try to give him a few days rest, which means, like you said, we're going to need more players stepping up off the bench. And last night, Hamidou Diallo really showed that he can be that guy.
Yeah, and I think this is something that you've been saying all year, is that Hami is going to be one of those players that consistently comes in and can put up double figures and points every game. So it's really nice to be able to see us have a two-go-to guy off the bench right now. And watching him break out in that game last night was really, really special. So I'm really excited to see how he's able to put a string of good games together over the next few weeks.
Right. I know Moose probably won't be playing, but we should definitely bring him up because this really has been his bench unit.
Yeah, he's led this bench. He's been the vocal leader. He's been the voice. He's been the heart of this bench. So I'm really interested to see how the guys play without him. I always feel like when our bench goes on a run, it usually starts with Mike getting a big block, getting a big rebound, or hitting a three, or even getting a nice post-up move. So I believe that the way that Mike plays and has our bench playing at a high level is really critical to see how they play tonight tomorrow night against the Nets.
Right. And speaking of leadership, I think that's really what Théo Maledon has demonstrated his ability to do, is really lead a team. And when you heard him after the game talking about pushing the pace, it's starting on the defensive end, and really giving it everything he has, it's really been apparent. Even though he's averaging only 6.5 points and 2.8 assists, he's really having a much bigger impact than the stat line shows.
Yeah, he's playing at a completely different level than what we're used to seeing off of our bench. I do believe that he is going to be continued to talk about as one of the surprise rookies this year. I do believe that he's going to continue getting minutes. And I honestly think that by the end of the year, he's going to be averaging double figures in points, because the way that he has developed his game, even in the short 8 games that we've seen him play, I do feel like he has continuously changed his stuff around to make him a better player.
It's not going to happen today or tomorrow, or it might, but probably not going to happen that he has a huge breakout game, simply because he's not the type of player that plays super flashy. But he controls the pace, he controls the tempo, and his passes are exceptional. He really knows how to get the ball to where the shooter wants to catch it, so it's right in the shooter's pocket.
Yeah, I feel like the way that he is able to dribble towards the player while attracting the defense and get the ball so that the player is able to get a shot off incredibly fast is something to watch. He puts the ball right on the money.
Let's go ahead and talk about Poku. And I tell you that we should stay off of Facebook, but I think you're kind of fired up about something you saw.
Yeah, I really am. I've been keeping an eye on other podcasts and other Facebook stuff right now. And I listened to some guy's podcast that said that he believes that Poku is the worst player in the NBA. And that just makes me upset. I feel like this kid is, yes, he's the youngest player in the NBA right now, but he shows signs of flashes that I can't even describe yet. The confidence in his shot, the way he rebounds, the way he is able to impact the game without putting a lot of points up is really impressive. So I get a little fired up when I hear podcasts that are Oklahoma City Thunder podcasts that talk trash on our players, because we don't need that crap. Like, we're here, we want to talk positive. That's why we started Gary England's Last Storm, is to talk positive about our players.
Right, and if you want to focus on the number with Poku, the number you should focus on is his minutes. He's playing 16 minutes a night on average, and that is so much more than I expected at this point.
Again, he's the youngest player in the NBA, and he's putting up 16 minutes a night. I feel like that's big, and I think that's going to pay off by the end of the year and into next year as far as his development continues.
Right, and obviously the fact that he's only averaging 2 points a game, that gets all the attention. But in those 16 minutes a game, he's getting over four rebounds. He's averaging over one assist, and he's shown the ability to really pass the ball, nearly one steal at 0.8, and one block, all in 16 minutes. So he's really demonstrated that he finds ways to impact the game, and really in a way that I haven't seen in a long time, because he just does it. It surprises me every time he finds a way to do something.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. I think that the way that he is able to impact the game without scoring is something that you can't really underestimate. We've seen a lot of players come up into the NBA, and the only thing they can do is score. They can't rebound. They can't pass the ball. All they can do is score. We've seen players like Kendrick Perkins that comes in the league, and Kendrick was great at shutting down people, but he couldn't score with crap. So it's interesting to see how somebody in the league is breaking through who obviously has confidence in his shot and I feel like has the ability to impact the game in so many different levels.
Right. I think a lot of people think that they can watch a game and see somebody miss a few shots and then call them like terrible, say that they're the worst player in the league, and kind of move on and not really feel like any responsibility for like their opinion because, well, you know, it doesn't mean anything because who are they? They're nobody. They just have a stupid fucking podcast. But the truth is, like, negativity, like trashing our team, acting like our goal is to be terrible and that we really want to have bad players out there and we're trying to lose and we want to trade away all our good players, that's the type of negativity that is just stupid.
Yeah, I seriously wonder and scratch my head sometimes when I hear these podcasts. And I ask myself, don't these people realize that we're Oklahoma City people? We don't like this negativity. And this is why I feel like this is the biggest point about us starting this podcast and getting this stuff out there, is because we see the vision that Sam Presti is putting out there. We see what he is doing, and this is special. We have an opportunity to be able to echo how he is able to build this team. And that's why I feel like you and I are going to stay around here for a while doing this podcast, because we believe in the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right, and we believe that Sam Presti wants us to be competitive, not later, but right now. And he wants us to take on the challenge, and he's not going to put us in a spot where the players are out there and then, you know, somebody that they really need to compete is just not there. That's going to be discouraging and humiliating, And we really want SGA to be an all-star, not next year, not in 2 years, but this year. You know, if we get to the playoffs and he's the leader of this team, he deserves that spot. And that's what we need to do. And when you can get to the playoffs like the Clippers did before they got Kawhi Leonard, that was incredibly important. And I'm not saying we're going to go out and get a big free agent or make a huge trade. We don't need to do that. We have youth. We have picks. But the point is, winning is contagious, and so is losing.
Yeah, and I feel like the other podcasters and Facebooks that are out there are really focused on the fact that our team isn't going in the direction that they see that's the best way. Not necessarily where Sam Presti sees or where Coach sees or where even where we see, but they feel like their vision of what the Oklahoma City Thunder, what they are doing is what is right. And that's what's so frustrating is you can hear them talk negative about Westbrook when he was on the team. You can hear them talk negative about Chris Paul and how he's just a washed up old man. And to me, like every year, Mark and I start listening to these podcasts, we turn them off because it's like, this is bullshit. This is not the stuff that we want to hear. We want to hear about the good things happening with the Thunder. And that's why we're here. And that's why I feel like eventually we're going to be able to be a voice in Oklahoma City because of that.
Right. And we're not looking to get any attention. We just want everybody to know that we see what's going on and we're not going to just stand by and do nothing. We're going to put our voice in there. And if you agree with us, if you know other people who like cheering for the Thunder and are tired of all the people trying to convince you that we need to tank so that we can be good in 4 or 5 years, that we can get some college player that is in Stillwater and that will somehow be our magic ticket to greatness. Like, we don't need that. And it's just noise. And they don't know what they're talking about. They haven't been right. And they really have, like, this opinion that their opinion is important. And it kind of reminds me of like some bad version of the sports animal that's kind of infected the minds of all these Thunder fans, where they think that the whole point is to question coaching and to challenge everybody's opinion and to really just be right and go around and act like Jim Traver and Al Ashbach and act like morons all the time. But as long as they're convinced they're right, then they don't ever have to take responsibility for the stupid, dumbass things they say. And it's just ignorant.
Yeah. I mean, like those guys, I remember listening, calling on the sports animal all the time back in the day. And those guys were straight up class A assholes. And they would talk trash on you. They would do all these other things. And I feel like what's happened with the Oklahoma City podcast is they have embodied that asshole form. And they continue to do it without even being able to help themselves. And that's where I get frustrated, because that's not what Oklahoma City is about. You know, we were there after the bombing. We were there after the May 3rd tornado. We were there after every major horrible event that happened. And we always watched Oklahoma City people gang up and help people out. That's the greatest thing that Oklahoma City does. And what's happening is these guys are turning their backs on Oklahoma City and causing other Thunder fans to go down this road that we don't agree with. So we're going to stand up and we're going to make sure that our opinion is heard.
Right. And it's trash, and it's always been trash, and it's not really intended to be anything other than noise, because they need to fill up time because they have sponsors and they need people to listen to them. So they just go ahead and they just talk and they talk and they talk, and they convince themselves of their opinions. They convince other people of their opinions, but really it's just the blind leading the blind. And really it's just an echo chamber. There's really no logic or sense. And these people aren't very smart. They've never really been smart. Just because you can operate a podcast does not make you smart. I think I proved that.
Yeah, I mean, like, on all levels, I feel like these guys are taking advantage of the Oklahoma City fans. And I feel like this is a moment for us to stand up and say no more. I think this is a moment for us as a fan base to let people know that we not only believe in ourselves, but we want to take our team to the next level and support them in any way we possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, they act like they have, like, some real big balls because they go out and they talk about a 19-year-old like he's trash. And that doesn't take really big balls. That just takes ignorance.
Yeah, I mean, like, I could pick any 19-year-old and talk shit on him. I mean, that's just the way it is. Like these guys are not original. These guys are not people that I would even want to watch or listen to their podcasts anymore. In fact, I have completely quit because I've recognized that negativity breeds losers. And I recognize that the negativity that these guys have with our players and the way they talk about Bazley, the way they talk about Poku, and the way they talk about Maledon, I think that's just straight up shit. And we are not going to listen to it anymore. We're going to stand up and we're going to talk about a positive Thunder team.
Right. And this goes back to the early days of Russ, KD, Harden. And I remember Barry Trammell, and I remember Royce Young counting up Russ's shots and really rubbing everybody's nose in it. Like, I'm not saying that Russ was a perfect player, but I sure as hell don't think that, you know, Royce Young or Barry Trammell were going to fix it. And by them really getting everybody agitated about it, it really did a disservice. And you saw Russ over the years get very bitter, and he turned very angry at the Oklahoma City media. So did Kevin Durant. And I've already seen, you know, somebody, and I don't want to say any names, but another podcast, you know, be an instigator with Darius Bazley and just try to create issues because they like to be a part of the storyline and they really have no integrity. So what does it cost them if they go around and they start fights with players? Because actually it just gets them more likes or haters on Twitter, but that's what they're looking for anyway, because they're just, you know, losers.
Yeah. And I think they're just trying to get listen or people to click on their podcast. And I think what's happening is that the Oklahoma City Thunder base, like you said, is getting frustrated at it. We should let other cities and other media people talk shit on the Thunder, not the Oklahoma City Thunder fans, media, or anybody else like that in Oklahoma City. We should be a positive influence, making people want to come and play here in Oklahoma City.
Well, the fact that we're not just gives you and I an opportunity to be that voice, because there really isn't that voice. I hear some people sometimes, you know, give a positive spin, and to them that means talking about how conflicted or how distraught they are that we're not losing as much, or how what they really want is to be in every game but lose close games. And I don't understand, like, how losing became so in vogue.
I don't understand it either. And it's one of those things that I truly struggle with, because I feel like, you know, coming from a place that winning is a lot, means a lot, I just don't understand how they can be okay with a loser mentality like they have.
Right. I feel like this goes back to the whole Russ and KD quarrel. You know, you either liked Russ or you liked KD, and KD really had everybody's hearts. And that just made it hurt worse when he showed his true colors and shit on the whole city. And then when he left, he didn't just leave. He kept shitting on everything. And so I think with KD, it's clear that people had to stop being, like, loyal to KD, because KD wasn't loyal to them. So then they shifted, and they really became loyal to the Thunder. But they weren't ever really loyal to Russ. KD was able to permanently make sure that they could never really love Russ. And you could count the number of Russ jerseys you saw. Even after he won the MVP, it never got even half of what KD's jerseys at the arena were. And in the end, when you got Paul George, all those KD fans, they jumped over to Paul George and got back to talking shit on Russ and how he was the one holding the team back. And we're back to the same spot again. We have the tankers, and we have the people who really think we should buckle down and compete and try to get to the playoffs and build off of this team right here. I mean, the tankers, I'm just going to call them the cupcakes. You know what I mean? They're just looking for the easy way. Oh, there's 100%. A chance where, oh, that team is historically good and we can jump over there and win. That's what it's all about. They think the best way of winning is to lose a lot of games, like this is some sort of like Madden or 2K or something like that. And if you lose a bunch of games, you can then get the draft picks. But there's no pride in losing. There's no glory in losing. There's nothing. You're just a loser. And that's what they've proven they are. And that's why I get excited about talking to you every day, is because I want to express that we are excited about winning. We're excited about winning now. We don't care about winning later. We have the picks for the future. I wouldn't give those away for anything, but we don't need to go out of our way to lose now. We have pick swaps for that. We have stuff like Houston's going to do the losing for us this year. I'm not worried about that. Our goal is to prove how good we can be now.
Yeah, you're right. And I think this is exactly the type of mentality we want to stay away from. I love your coined phrase there, the cupcake mentality, because I really believe that's exactly the type of attitude that they have, is in order to win, we got to go cheer for another team. And I think that's what our city needs to forget about doing, because the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're here to stay. And I'm excited about this team that is growing and maturing. And I think it's going to be one of those things, as time comes on, the Oklahoma City Thunder is going to be proven that this is how you build an NBA team from the bottom to the top.
Right, and there's a lot of value in going through hard times, and it shouldn't be that we're trying to protect everybody and try to win every game by having the best possible team on the court at every moment. Sometimes you're going to trade some of those players, but that gives other players chances to step up. And there's not a reason to trade those players unless you feel like those players are other players are ready to step up. And there's no greater example of that than Darius Bazley.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I feel like Bazley is going to be one of those special athletes and special players as time goes on. And it's why we get so frustrated when we hear people be negative about him, because he is going to be an all-star eventually. And this is the type of player that we want to see on the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right. And if you look at where Poku is this year, he's already ahead of where Bazley was last year.
Yeah, and I think that has a lot to do with the playing time that Poku is getting and the fact that Bazley took a year off after high school. I think that has a lot to do with that.
Right, but I just think my point is there's that, like Coach said, improvement is not always linear, and so we're looking for improvement, and it's going to happen in zigzags, and so that's okay. It doesn't have to happen all in a straight line.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right.
Well, I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow, 5 o'clock, against the Nets.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting game. Watch how Hammy and SGA bounce back after big games last night, so I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, that's right. Last night they had 48 points combined. So, yeah, look for some other players to step up, but definitely look for them to, you know, keep it going.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. This is Dave.
And this is Mark. Thanks for joining us for Gary England's Last Storm. We'll be back after the game.
Thanks for listening. Thunder up.